Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
I want to encourage us in something. Bill Johnson says that he feels like the membrane between heaven and earth is just getting thinner and thinner and thinner. There are just things happening all over the earth. I've got a friend in Amman, who has a brother who is a missionary in Amman, Jordan. And in Amman, Jordan, this missionary says that there are Muslims coming to Christ all the time, but they're not coming as a result of preaching. They're coming as a result of a visitation of Jesus. I mean, that's just sad. I've heard that, but this is a good friend of mine who's a trusted friend and who's, you know, I've heard of his brother in Amman, Jordan. And he says it's no longer asking, well, how did you come to the Lord? It's when did Jesus visit you? You know? I say that because this is going to stretch you a little bit, but I kind of like being stretched. I've been telling a story. I talked to my daughter, Rachel, who was in Reading, and Bob Jones was there. If you know anything about Bob Jones, he has a gift where he takes people to heaven. I don't get it. I've never been to heaven, okay? I've never made it. Anyways, so Rachel called me the other night, and she says, Daddy, I've been going to heaven lately. I said, what are you talking about? She says, well, I've gone to heaven. It's during worship service, but I feel like I'm half on earth, but I'm half in heaven, but I'm talking to God, and I'm asking him all these questions, and he's answering my questions. I said, Rachel, you're kidding. I mean, what's that like? What does that feel like? What do you mean you're going to heaven? She says, well, I don't know, but I'm able to go to heaven and talk to my daddy in heaven. In fact, she says, Dad, guess what he was wearing? I have, as a dad, I have this old t-shirt, or it's an old sweatshirt that I've worn at home. You know, I'm not a walking billboard, so I don't wear stuff with signs on it. And it says, Best Dad on Earth on it. And it's a red sweater, and I used to wear that all the time when the kids were little. And she says, Dad, he was wearing your sweatshirt. God was wearing your sweatshirt. And he had sweatpants on. I says, now, come on, you know. I mean, doesn't that just mess with you? It messes with you. And, you know, all of these things, they need to be discerned. They need to be judged. And I know one thing. I'm not where at one time I would have written something off. God is doing something in this day, in this hour, in this age that we can expect just out-of-the-box visitations from God. I mean, how would you like to have God show up to you and relate to you in a way that, you know, Rachel could relate to this God who looked like her dad that had, you know, obviously he's bigger than dad, but I mean, at least, you know, he was wearing the clothing. You know? Speaking of clothing, I left this morning and I wore the wrong shoes. Have you ever gone out of the house and just worn the wrong shoes? I was doing something else and I put my old shoes on just to carry something outside, and I just flat out forgot. So thankfully Susie's not here. She gets embarrassed with those kinds of things, but... God is so good. God is so good. And you know, you're never wearing the wrong shoes unless you're walking in somebody else's shoes. You know, unless you know how to walk in what God has given you, how God has created you. When you know yourself, the gifting that's in you, you're inseparable from the gift of God that's in you. So, these are my shoes. But they're just the wrong color for what I wore today. We've got some new discipleship groups starting up this week. So Mary is going to come on up and introduce them. Yeah, let's give her a hand.
good to be here. I haven't been here for 2 months, so it's really good to be here and see everybody and enjoy God with you all, and so that's wonderful. Wayne would be here, but he's here in spirit, but his body's still in bed. One of our brothers, our beloved brothers of this fellowship that is now in our D group, took him on this like half a day hike yesterday, and then he had to be in the prayer room till 3 this morning, so he's all wore out, and otherwise he would be here with me. So can I have our new D group leaders come up? Let's see, we got Woodises and Christensens and Phyllis. And are Weems here? Oh, they're not here. Okay. All right. I just want to quick read a scripture. I mean, part of the blessing that Ken was declaring is your brothers and sisters is the body of Christ. That's part of the blessing. It's a huge part of the blessing that we receive. Because all of those things he was talking about, much of it comes through your brothers and sisters. Amen? So, D groups are just discipleship groups is what we call them. And, wow, Deb's on the floor. I didn't see that. We just want to encourage you about the D groups. Anybody who's a part of them, really knows the secret of D groups. So if you want to know the secret of D groups, you have to go. But I just want to read in Hebrews. This is kind of our scripture. Hebrews 10, 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So if you notice in that scripture, you know, we need to consider one another. We need to look around and consider one another. And did you notice that love and good works don't just happen? They need to be stirred up. They don't just happen. Just like anything in life, it doesn't just happen. If we want to have a relationship with our children, if we want to, you know, whatever, we have to be intentional about it. You know, we got to do those things. So love and good works is not something you just are grandfathered in with. You know what I mean? And it needs to be stirred up daily. And this is what we do in our discipleship groups. And we do it here on Sunday, but hey, one more shot in the arm during the week, or if you call one another during the week, that's great too, but it all flows out of relationship. And like I said before, you can't love from a distance. We need to obey the command of the Lord to love one another as he has loved us. We can't do that at a distance. We need to be up close and personal with one another, and that happens by being together. So anyway, we have two new groups starting. We're so excited about it. And we've been praying about these different areas that God would open up groups. So we have one with Tina and Chuck Christensen that are going to start in Monticello. So anybody, you know, perk your ears up if you live in that region, that area. They're going to be starting a D group. And then we've got Jim and Juanita Woodis and Larry and Phyllis Close that are going to be starting a group in Princeton-Zimmerman area. Which, I don't know, that Zimmerman's got like three groups going on up there. She says needy. I'm saying something's going on there. So just read your bulletin. Gives all the specifics, but I'd like to give each one of them a little bit of, you know, like 30 seconds to say something if they want. Just kidding.
I can barely get through. Hello. We're starting on Tuesday, and we're doing a series. It's called The Truth Project. Focus on the Family puts it out. And it's, Dave, those are embarrassing. that's all I can say about it. It's only got 30 seconds, so come on out, check it out.
Okay, good morning. Yep, we're in Monticello. We live near the Walmart, and we'll be meeting Wednesday nights from 7 till about 9 o'clock. And what's on our heart is kind of to to build the body both ways, one building it crosswise, the discipleship group fellowshipping together, but our also goal is to build it this way with God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So our hearts are to come together and we'll spend some time together fellowshipping over snacks, learn about each other's needs and what God's showing us. And then we're also going to spend some time in worship and in prayer, doing not intercessory prayer, but what we like to call just spirit-led prayer, just letting God teach us about himself, kind of what we've been doing last week and this week at the service. Just spend some time together before the Lord and let him kind of direct the prayer and teach us new things. I had an instructor that said, if you can learn to follow the Holy Spirit in prayer, you can learn to follow him everywhere. And that's kind of our desire, is just to hang out together with God, with the Holy Spirit, with each other. He also said sometimes learning about the Holy Spirit is better caught than taught. You know, it's one thing to read books, but sometimes just getting together with other believers and just letting God do his thing, and we just learn from each other so much. And whether you've been praying for years or you're a brand new believer, just being in a friendly little group, praying together, spending time with each other, spending time with the Holy Spirit, it's just an awesome time together to learn and grow together. So that's what's on our hearts.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Jim could have had more than 30 seconds if he'd have wanted. But after getting me about the shoes, I don't know. We'll cut you off. But he was really excited about something called the Truth Project, which is really just encountering. You know, how many know that our faith has to be relevant to the world? I think in many times, many situations, it seems like the church is the last entity on planet Earth to change something about our conservative nature. How many are looking for the day, you know, it wasn't too long ago that it was the church that led change. It was the church that had the inventions that found cures for incurable diseases. Many of the inventions that are known to us now, a lot of them were invented by believers who just got a revelation from God. Many of the great minds of just a century ago were believers. And I just want to see that stirred back up in the church. You know, God has created us with such potential. One of these days I'm going to preach a message on how God sees man. He sees man a lot different than we see men. And he sees us, the potential that God has put in mankind is staggering. Now the church has done everything they can do, I'd say in the last couple of centuries, to put a lid on people. You know, and church hierarchy has always wanted to keep people down in the name of good quality leadership. I tell you, my heart for you is that I will never hold you down. Hopefully I can get under you. Hopefully you can go farther than I'll ever go in my life. And we're going to move into communion here fairly quickly. The kids will be joining us, but I've got a word on my heart that I've been mulling over for probably a couple of months. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I think I mentioned it last month when we broke bread together. Verse 16 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." Paul is in the middle, really, of from here on, a little bit later on in his writings and a little bit before this, he's been talking about, first of all, he compared us with the Israelites. Weren't they all under the same cloud? And didn't they all go into the same pillar of fire? Didn't they all drink from the same spiritual rock, which was Christ? And he's talking about the unity of a community. He's talking about the communion of saints. This communion, isn't it the communion that we have in the blood of Jesus Christ? Isn't it the communion that we have in the body of Christ? And that communion there is koinonia. It's what we're trying to establish in our D groups. It's a relationship with one another that's deeper than just a surface Sunday morning, hi, how you doing? I'm Dave. There's a koinonia. There is an in one place, it's, you know, the definition is a social intercourse. There's a social intertwining of the inner parts of who we are, and that can only be in Christ. How many know that when in later on, let's see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is, Paul is saying, you know, that come out from among the world. Be separate. Don't you know that you can't have that same fellowship with the world as we can have with one another? See, I can only intertwine with people that don't know Jesus just so much. Why? Because I am just wired different. I'm wired. I don't have the same DNA that they have. I have a DNA that's of my Father in heaven, and you do too if you're born again. And I can have fellowship. I can have this intertwining. I can have this relationship with you that I can't have with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. In fact, there came a time where I had to leave my father and mother and be united with the body of Christ. Now, I still honored my father and my mother. I loved my mother and my father, and I still visited them. But I had to leave their belief system because it was not in line with what God was doing in my heart. And all of a sudden, you became more my family than my family. See, that's the kind of communion that we're going to be sharing today. We talk of this as being communion, but really, this is just what brings us into communion. This is just the truth. This is the reality of what brings our hearts into communion. In other words, we don't have communion, we have communion one with another. We have fellowship with one another, and it's centered upon the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we're called into this place of communion one with another. But then Paul makes kind of an astonishing statement. In verse 17, he says, "For though many are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." For we, even though we're many, are one body. Why? Because we all partake of that one bread. As we break bread, as we take part in this supper, in this table, how many know we're eating more than bread and drinking wine? We're remembering the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're eating of that bread. Jesus many, many times talked of himself as being the bread of life. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Father. So Jesus, the Word made flesh, became bread for us. How many know that your inner man is always feeding on something? Your spirit man, your inside man is always going to feed on something. There's a hunger. You know, when Casey talked about the tank, his tank was filled. His tank was filled with good stuff. But how many know each of us has an emotional, a spiritual, a tank inside of us that is longing to be filled? That's why in Matthew it says, blessed is he who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, because he'll be filled. Well, if you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, you're going to be filled with what? Righteousness. You're going to see, and there's so much time spent in everything around us getting us to fill ourselves with that, what's designed to be filled with the bread of life is being filled with so many different things. But here's the deal. As we eat, as we partake of Christ, as we take of this union and this communion, as we all eat of this one bread, as we all partake of this one body, we become what we eat. See, this is really important, because who you are in your family, who you are in your church, who you are in your marketplace, who you are in your workplace, who you are in your neighborhood is going to be a result of who you're eating. You are going to feed somebody something. How many want to feed people with the bread of life? When Peter was being restored, he had denied the Lord. And Jesus asked him three times. He says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter, "Yeah, I love you, Lord." "Well, then this is what you do, Peter. You feed my sheep. You feed my sheep." See, there's a reality of the Christ in you becoming one flesh. When we're talking about breaking bread, when we're talking about taking communion, what we're really doing is, this is the marriage feast of the Lamb that we share on this side of eternity. And as he's, you know, as Ken preached so well a couple of weeks ago about the Jewish wedding, which, by the way, if any of you have guys having a problem with being the bride of Christ, do you realize that he was passing that covenant cup, which, remember, if the bride took and drank of that cup, she was accepting the covenant? How many know that Jesus was passing that to a bunch of burly guys? He is passing that wedding cup, if you will, saying, "I am betrothing you, Peter. I'm engaging you, John. James, this is for you." Now, these are all burly fishermen that Jesus was saying, "As you drink of this cup, we're going to become one." See, there is such a truth in the marriage covenant of becoming one. I can't do anything without affecting my wife. And my wife can't do anything without affecting me. Brian and Renee are just back from Reading, and they've gone to a week-long intense marriage seminar, which I know that they'll be sharing some things about that. But I would imagine one of the things that they discovered is just how close this unity because of covenant really is. See, and you and I are one with Christ. And our mission now is to be food and to be drink to the world around us. Have you ever fed off of anybody? Alice, last week, did a women's retreat here. I would say that Alice became bread for people. And she became the living bread for people. Now, I'm not equating Alice with the Most High God, okay? Close. I mean, you know, if we understand the work of the cross, if we really understand the work of the cross, we are sons and daughters, joint heirs with Jesus. I'll never be on the same plane as Jesus. He's the one that did it for me. He's the elder brother. Yeah, but he has chosen to share his inheritance. But Alice, as she was teaching, was becoming bread that others could partake in. I want to encourage us that we are all called to be bread. We're all called to be drink. We're all called to represent our Father in heaven. So part of the reason I felt like we just wanted to take some time this morning and just receive from Father is because you just can't eat a good meal while being in a real rush, can you? You just can't eat a good meal by being in a hurry all the time. I don't really know what God accomplished here today. I don't know everything. But this much I know, there was a banquet that was prepared here for us today. And those who have been hungry have been able to feast upon the person of Jesus Christ. If you're hungry, there is this Holy Spirit that God wants to pour out in without measure on our lives. And I want to encourage us that we are being invited into a banquet. As we break bread together today, this is just a remembrance. Paul said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And we're remembering Jesus. We're remembering his death. We're showing forth. We're proclaiming his death. Why is that so important? Well, because we have been united with him in death. That's what gives us victory over the old man. You know, when we, this morning, as we just lifted up some of those areas, those roadblocks that we were talking about, all we were doing was we were agreeing with already the finished work of what we're remembering here today. We have been given legal authority to be united with Christ in his death. But we don't stay buried. Therefore, we are risen with him by the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead. The teams want to come on up. Pass out. We're running just a little bit late here. As we break bread this morning, what I really want us to understand that each of these pieces of bread came from a full loaf, and it was broken so that we could each partake. Nevertheless, we're all partaking. Go ahead and pass it out. Nevertheless, we're all partaking from the same loaf. So it is with Christ. Although he was broken in a way that his body was laid out so that we could each partake, so that we can each feed upon the living bread, the bread of life. So we're all partaking from the one loaf, which is Jesus. And this is our unity. This is our community. This is our communion, one with another. As we break bread this morning, I want to see us feeding upon Jesus. You're feeding upon his character. You're feeding upon his righteousness, his holiness. You're actually partaking in his suffering, his death, his burial. What we're remembering this morning is the most significant happening in the history of mankind. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks. He broke it, and he said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. As often as you eat this, eat it in remembrance of me." Jesus, this morning as we eat your broken body, we're very aware of how intricately intertwined we are in the body of Christ. That we've become one bread because we eat of the one loaf. Lord, I pray this morning that there would rise up a new love in our hearts for the body of Christ. Certainly in this church, but God, in the many, many churches where your name is proclaimed, that the unity of our faith and the unity of our love would be so astonishing. God, that we'd see heaven and earth move with your love. We eat now in remembrance, showing forth your death, that you died to unify us. In Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and eat. Teams will come on up. Thank you. same way Jesus took the cup, and after he'd given thanks, he said, "Take and drink of this, each of you. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this cup, drink it in remembrance of me." Oh, Jesus, we drink this cup this morning in remembrance of your covenant, God, your offer to become one with us. The betrothal, God, the promise of a day when we'll be united eternally, completely, fully with you. And even as the scripture is read this morning, that we groan to put off this tent and to be raised with an immortal body. All the hope of eternity, the hope of your promise, God, even now that you'll never leave us or forsake us. We thank you for all the promises of the covenant that we enjoy through this cup. We drink it now in remembrance of you. Let's stand together. Let's just give him worship and praise, adoration. Lord, we love you. We exalt you. We bless you. We praise you. Yes, you're good. You're good. We declare your goodness and your love, oh God. Your mercies, Father, we thank you. Father, I want to thank you for this body of believers. God, I want to thank you for the union that we share in fellowship one with another. Father, I pray that you'd increase our love for one another. God, I pray that you'd increase our care for one another. Father, I pray that you'd just move on us in such a way with conviction and truth, God, of how closely related we really are through the blood of Jesus, through the broken body of Christ. Father, I pray your love, your peace, your joy on each one as we go now. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.